Tim and I are going to do two talks in one, effectively. I'm going to tag team, so hopefully that will work. But before I start, I just want to thank the Gorgon Barrow Island Net Conservation Benefit Fund. And this project also has had significant support from DPOR and Department of Fisheries. The PMCP Fish and Shark Program is all about establishing comprehensive baselines of fish assemblages across the Pilbara region, from the cross shelf and also regional variability. And this is really important because it will provide information for us that enables us to look at change to these fish assemblages over time in response to fishing, coastal development, climate anomalies and the rest. But today I really wanted to drive home some of the information regarding understanding the drivers of fish assemblages and sharks across the Pilbara region. So, to date, we've used the two primary techniques being stereo dubs, so the diver-operated stereo video, and the baited remote underwater stereo video. So the stereo dubs are basically the same as an underwater visual census, except instead of scribing fish that you see, you're recording them on the stereo video systems, and that footage is analysed in the lab. Whereas the bravs are remote, they're baited with a kilogram of crushed pilchards, deployed by boat and left to film on the seafloor for an hour. We use multiple systems so that we can have high spatial coverage in a short amount of time. So we've used a lot of these, all the way from Coral Bay up to Dampier and out to 70 metres water depth. And I was thinking about this earlier, if 1900 bravs, and it takes maybe 4 or 5 hours to analyse one, it's kind of about 630 days of Todd's time, 630 days of Matt's time looking at video, which is a lot. And from that, we've got so far nearly 600 fish species from 81 families and thousands of fish, and we're still counting.
Thanks very much, Di. this project's been an incredible opportunity, not only for the larger sort of objectives we've been aiming for, but also for training for research students. We've had a great variety of honours, masters and PhD students involved, and they've had a chance to work on really kind of quite applied projects. So our first student we had was Catherine Bennett, that was working with us in collaboration with DPOR. She got a first class master's degree and got a paper just published in an international journal. She was looking at the video footage collected on the diver video survey methodology, which is one of the methods that DPOR in particular use for their long-term monitoring programs. She was looking at how they obtain habitat characterization, habitat information from the video footage that was really obtained for fish, and how we could then apply that to historical time series of data. And then Danielle Collins, she got a first class master's as well, and we just got her paper published in a really good international journal. She was again working on the diver video methods that are used for long-term monitoring, and she was trying to use the stereo capability to try and estimate rugosity or reef complexity from the video footage. Funnily enough, it turned out that a visual ranking of 0 to 5 is actually just as good as a stereo actual measure of 0 to 5, which was good because it saves a lot of time. But we showed that in a paper, which is really important. And that was very good. We also had a couple of really good students from the French Caribbean who came over to work for us on internship, Jeff and Laura Pitturini, and I was going to present some of their research in a little while. And then we had Megan Schifilti. She started work on shark depredation. So this is a really emerging issue in the Ningaloo and Pilbara region, where sharks are taking the fish from recreational fishermen's lines and commercial fishermen's lines. It's a really emerging issue. There's a lot of concern for the marine park managers and fisheries managers in the region. She started a pilot study looking at behaviour of sharks around recreational fishing, and that's been carried on by John Mitchell, who started his PhD. John's up at the back here, and he's here today, and he's got a poster up at the back there if anyone wants to chat to him about his research. And I'll mention John's research a little bit later as well. We've also had Bridget Vaughan. She's been working on the deeper water, down to 60 metre sort of fish assemblages around Ningaloo, inside, outside the marine parks as well. And Bridget also got a first class master's degree, and we're currently working on her paper with her DPOR supervisors at the moment. Now, we've done a few simple things in this project, and one of them was to come up with away, and this is based really a lot of Danielle Collins and Catherine Bennett's work from their theses. We sort of gleaned the good bits from their theses and integrated it into a systematic way of characterising the habitat from either the beta video systems or the diver-operated video systems, using that handy ranking of, one, of 0 to 5 as well for the visual relief that we proved was good enough to do. And that's actually been a really, it's a simple sort of application of a standardised habitat characterisation schema that already exists, this national Katami schema, but it's meant that we've been able to collect a lot of really high quality data on the benthos at the same time as the fish samples, allowing us to develop much more powerful models of fish abundance distribution. And another really simple thing we've done in collaboration with our partners, the Department of Fisheries and at Curtin University, we were all trying to work out different ways of sampling with beta video systems, these stereo beta video systems, in quite shallow water habitats and quite fragile habitats. And the traditional beta video stereo system we've used to always use has been quite a hefty, large system that would really take two people to lift. However, by just going to a more lightweight design and minimising some of the components, we came up with a system that was very, very much easier to deploy. As you can see here, Jordan Gertzer throwing it out pretty much with one hand, and has led to a lot more cost-effective sampling across the region, which is why we've managed to achieve all those samples in our programme so far. Slightly to the bane of people like Matt Burt and Todd Bond who work up there, because now we have collected a very large amount of samples these guys have to supervise the analysis of. Sorry about that innovation, guys. But I'll hand back to Diane now.
We've also used these on little boats in Lombok, which was just another story about that. So as Tim showed, we can also get habitat information from the video imagery. So that allows us to not only look at fish, but how habitat and fish relationships are working throughout the region. So this is just a spatial plot of percent cover of different habitat types. It's the size indicative of the percent cover of those different habitats. And we can use this habitat information in addition to other variables like depth, visibility, distance to boat ramp, distance to, say, 30 metre depth contour is indicative of oceanic flushing, and we can model that with the fish to see what's driving their abundance and their distribution. So this map here just shows the result of, we did a multivariate regression tree analysis, and the MRT came up with four distinct types of fish assemblages: sandy, rocky, macroalgae and hard coral, and within each of those there were a certain number of indicator species. And this just maps the deployments of stereo bruvs in the near shore, colour-coded by those four distinct fish assemblage types and scaled for species richness. What you can see from the plot is this area down the southern Pilbara, the offshore islands that we've heard so much about today, having a particularly high species diversity and abundance, which is evident in this video here, which is taken at the Murren Islands. So that area is really from the Murren Islands, covers Surrey, Bessiers, Thevenard, up to Airlie Island, and we're getting high diversity in particular, excellent coral cover, and a high abundance of target fish species. And the area, part of the area is known as Mackerel Islands, and it is a popular recreational fishing destination. Then we can look at the target species in more detail. And this is really useful for not only knowing where they have peaks in abundance that might be important areas, but also looking at the differences between the species. Just for example, we get this Spangled Emperor high abundance down the southern Pilbara, not so much up the north, and trout a bit more patchy around those southern islands, but also high abundance up around Dampier. And that was really variable depending on the type of species that we've been looking at. So we can take it one step further and model the different variables that we've included to see how they're influencing the abundance of various species. These are just some examples. These are residual plots and they're somewhat intuitive. You can see coral trout increase in abundance as percent reef cover increases, or total abundance of fish increases as hard coral cover increases, as does species richness. So some of them are intuitive, but others are revealing really important information. So we've got some great results recently out of the Exmouth Gulf, which I think some might be on the poster up top too. This graph, basically we can dive more into families of targeted species. So this is Lathraenidae, and what it's showing is these are the size bins in the red, We're getting lots of little guys in high abundance in shallow macroalgae, sort of medium-sized lathrinids over reef and soft corals in the sort of mid-depth, and then we get all these larger guys out in the deeper region where there's less soft coral and macroalgae cover. And Leah will be talking after us, and she'll provide a bit more information on how this can be used in a fisheries context. Just pass it back to Tim.
Thanks, Di.
Yes, so as I mentioned, this was our first batch of students we really had coming through, helping us to work on this project, working on some of these 1,900 or so beta video samples and diver video samples across the region. We've also had, as Di mentioned, we've got Leah Canland is here. She's going to be presenting after us. And Leah and Mike Taylor, they've been working on sort of Dampier Archipelago region, an area that has been highlighted by pilot studies and work that's ongoing from the Department of Fisheries as an important area potentially for the recruitment of some of the species that occur in the fisheries offshore. So they've been looking at sort of the habitat associations of some of these important fishery species around Dampier and ontogenetic patterns, so change in distribution as the fish get older, potentially going into deeper water. We've also had Molly Mustaka. She's been working closely with the Department of Parks and Wildlife, looking at using existing sampling programs the Department of Parks and Wildlife have had and investigating the influence of suspended sediment regimes on the fish abundance distributions. Ross Gillis, that Di mentioned, he's been working in Exmouth Gulf. There's been very little historical fish research really in Exmouth Gulf, so it's quite a bit of a first, some of the work he's been doing there, and he's come up with some really interesting patterns indicating the distribution of the species around Exmouth Gulf and their abundances could be driven by sort of larger scale oceanographic processes influencing in the Gulf. And we've had Julia Haverstroff. She's been working in the shallow lagoonal environments at Ningaloo, comparing different survey methodologies. And Isabel Lindgren, she's been working on the sharks at the sort of Pilbara region at Ningaloo. And I'll just give some results of hers in a second as well. Now, John Mitchell, I mentioned before, looking at shark depredation, this emerging issue that's a real concern for marine park managers and fisheries managers in the region. John's been up there working very much in collaboration with Department of Fisheries and DPOR and CSIRO, and also Recfish West actually as well, I should mention. John's been carrying out boat ramp surveys to try and establish the spatial extent and the frequency of some of these shark bite-off depredation events. And also John's recently been up working in the Exmouth region using video cameras to try and identify the sharks that are responsible for biting off some of these fish from the recreational fishermen. But as I said, John's available to have a chat after this. And then Molly Mustaka, in particular working with Richard Evans from the Department of Parks and Wildlife. And Molly's been working on using a variety of different metrics of suspended sediment, but in particular data from satellites. And as we mentioned, we're using this annotation procedure for characterising the habitats of all of our imagery. And one of the things she's also been able to do is, as well as trying to predict how the fish respond to sediment, also been able to look at the benthos and how that responds to sediment based on her samples of the fish, which has been really handy. But she's essentially showing that for species like this browsing herbivore, they're more abundant in places that have had a low historical environments of suspended sediment. Where there's been lots of suspended sediment, then these important browsing herbivores are less abundant. So Julia here, Julia Haverstroff, she's been working, as I said, at Ningaloo, comparing how the diver video survey methodology that DPOR generally use for the shallow waters compared to the beta video system that DPOR have been using in deeper waters or Department of Fisheries typically uses for non-destructive sampling as well. How they perform for surveying inside and outside the sanctuary zones at Ningaloo. So it's important to inform the choice of monitoring methods. And surprisingly, actually, we found that the beta video system was actually picking up bigger differences or consistent differences in greater than legal size Lathrinus nebulosus, the most common target species in the marine park. So there were actually been detected significant differences inside outside the sanctuaries there, which actually recently haven't been seen in any other existing monitoring data and weren't seen by the diver video surveys. And Isabel, as I mentioned, looking at the biogeography of sharks in the region. We've had some really interesting observations of sharks throughout the study. Some really interesting species from some quite cryptic families, and been posting these on our Facebook account. It keeps sort of our Facebook followers really excited and engaged in our research. And we try and tell them about the other research we're doing as well, but they quite like liking these ones. So Izzy's been working on sharks across the Pilbara. In particular, though, she's found a greater abundance of grey reef sharks and white tip reef sharks across Ningaloo, and been able to model those. It's really reassuring to see that our habitat information comes up with very sensible patterns that suggest that the sort of very morphologically adapted white tip reef shark really likes the nooks and caves and crannies where it actually is morphologically adapted to. But anyway, she's been characterising their abundance distribution. So what are we going to do with all this data? One of the things I've been really passionate about in the last few years since I've been working here in West Australia is about trying to archive the data sets that have been produced from a lot of this video imagery surveys, and generally trying to archive and synthesize and collaborate between all these data sets. And with some funding from this project, from the Net Conservation Benefits Board, and from some substantial funding from UWA and Integrated Marine Observatory System, I've been developing an online database. I'm hopefully going to show you if this works.
You're going to have to change your screen settings.
Is that there?
No, that's where. Well, can I do that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. This is a thing called the Global Archive. We developed this way as a tool for sharing, archiving our data sets, and sharing and collaborating and creating synthesis. It's the kind of thing where you can log in and upload your data sets, and we designed it so it can ingest the specific kind of like stereo video annotation data sets we collect, or it can ingest sort of typical historical data sets like from UVC data or any kind of point count data as well. And then once we've got it in there, we can display the metadata in a map, and we can see all the datas. This allows us to then, see overlap. If you're planning some new studies, we can see where somebody else has collected some studies. If you want to start some collaborations, start some synthesis, you can see where they are. It's got an implementation to allow the sharing of data sets between different users, and allows us to sort of, stop just focusing in a small area and zoom out and see how other things might be happening around Australia and how other people are doing similar data collections around Australia, and to encourage greater synthesis. Now, how do I get back to the other one? Oh.
Just minimise that.
Thank you, sorry. And then if I press
F5.
Oh. Hang on. No, you meant Shift F5. Oh. Hang on. Now this is a seamless presentation we've been practicing for ages. Shift F5. Is that you?
Yeah, got them on.
Yeah, cool.
Well, these are just some recent publications out of the group. And as Tim's mentioned, we've got 6 master's students that are handing theses in next week.
Yeah.
So watch this space for a whole lot more.
Maybe a week and a half.
Week and a half.
To write the theses.
So we're pushing them to get their papers out soon, at least one each. And these are just some of them you can find in the literature now. And we just really like to thank Gorgon Barrow Island Net Conservation Benefit Fund, and particularly Department of Parks and Wildlife and Fisheries, for all their support, often going on field trips with us. Also like to acknowledge again Matt and Todd up the back there for thousands and thousands of hours of dedication to field and video analysis, and also supervising students. And please contact us if you want access to any of our data or want to work with us on anything.
Just one question. Great presentation. Mainly demersal fish. What about pelagics? Because mackerel islands being mackerel islands, and historically they used to catch bucket loads more than what they're doing now.
Yeah, so it's demersal in that it sits on the bottom. We're not really surveying a few species groups well, but mackerel, for example, would be perhaps the second most commonly observed fish species across the Pilbara region on broughs. So they are certainly being sampled. But things, more surface fish, like, I don't know, scad and things really we don't see all that much of. But yeah, you know, it depends how deep it is as well.
We had a PhD student at UWA, finished a couple of years ago, who developed and optimised pelagic baited video survey methods in collaboration with fisheries, and that was working quite well. We didn't actually have space in this project to deploy those as well, but it's a good idea.
Yeah, we complement it.
Yeah.
With the lighter weight material, do you have any issues in, I guess you'll have to deploy in certain conditions in order for them to not sort of tip over and whatnot with currents?
Yeah.
Can I ask Matt and Todd?
They're using the GoPro, so we're limited to shallow, starters.
He was talking about currents and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, they're flipping more over. Currents as you go.
But do they flip over?
No, they don't actually. They're pretty good. Yeah, it's the same as the heavy ones, really. And yeah, we're pretty shallow, so the rope's not the issue. If you get a big current, the rope drags them over. But under 60 metres, it's not really an issue.
We sent them to the Solomons recently, and we sent them all around the place, and they've been deployed in deep waters, and they actually haven't had too many problems with them. They're working really well.
Put them in a board bag and send them off on a plane.
Put them in a board bag and send them on a plane.
I saw a couple of the plots, coral trout were identified as SPP. I guess I'm just wondering to what extent that could be a couple of different species with quite different distributions that have been kind of blended together there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we group Maculatus and Leopardus. We distinct that we all the rest are separated into species level, but those two we group because they're not often close enough to the video to be able to distinguish them consistently. So rather than having two species that we may be sure of in one instance and not on another, we group those two together. So just those two species in that group.
I mean, I wasn't involved in the swims, but in the data that Russ and the other guys did, they were swimming on reefs, those two species had very different distributions. So
yeah, I guess
it's probably something that's worth a bit of a look.
Yeah. But now we've got your attention.
We
really would like to reach out to start some work with you with a complete data set, because we've only just got the complete data set from the master's students.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great next step for us to start working together on modelling that, actually. But maybe we'll have to look at that species in particular.
Yeah, because a lot of the places we've been to, we think it's about 90% Maculatus.
Yeah. That's probably a fairly general comment. You know, all of the regions where we've sampled stuff, whenever you find a couple of very similar congeneric species, then typically their distributions are like completely distinct.
Yeah.
So it's something to really watch out.
There's a few
from their maps, they were about where Leopardus is in the Barrow and Monkeys.
No, but the reef swims had Maculatus up in the towards Dampier and not much down in the southwest, if I remember right.
I think they were mostly offshore.
Let's look at the whole data set together and work it out. Yeah. I reckon, right?